You're about to hear the only advertising program on BBC. It's the show which contains genuine people. All the voices heard in this program are as near human as it's possible to be without getting personal.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about, it's something to shout about and cry out loud.
It's new.
It's heartwarming.
It's not a habit forming. We can really guarantee it's something, something to shout about.
Yes, it's something to shout about, the program which they said couldn't be done. And here to prove they were right are Michael Medwin, Eleanor Summerfield, Fenella Fielding and Sheila Hancock, bringing you a light-hearted expose of the advertising world.
Good morning, Janet. Any letters?
Yes, darling. There's one from the Landlubber Rum Company. They're panicking about their new advertising campaign.
The job's in hand. We spent over 8 hours in conference yesterday, and we arrived at a momentous decision.
Oh, Michael, what was he?
To hold another conference today. Anything else in the post?
I've had a postcard from Mavis.
Mavis?
Oh, you know, Mavis Willis from the typing pool. She's on holiday.
Oh, yes. What does she say?
Well, it's rather hard to read because all the ink's run. It looks as though it got rained on. But anyway, she says, "Dear Jan, weather fine. This is my hotel on the front, and the sea is only a fourpenny bus ride off."
The tide must be a long way out.
Oh, no. She means her hotel is on the front of the postcard. Anyway, having a lovely time. I went swimming yesterday and got soaked.
What does she expect, dry water?
Because it rained. The lifeguards are a larky lot, and one of them is teaching me artificial desperation.
That sounds like our Mavis, all right. Well, now, darling, I must get on to the conference.
What, the Landlubber Rum thing?
Yes, it starts in a couple of minutes. Oh, I say, with Mavis away, who's going to take down the notes?
They've arranged for a relief girl, but you can always call on me in an emergency. Well, that's what friends are for, to call on.
When I call on my friends, they're usually out. Now, Janet, I shall be at the conference for the rest of the morning. Try and keep out of mischief while I'm away.
Oh, darling, with you away, I've no alternative. I'll be so bored.
Well, really, there must be something that needs doing.
Oh, yes, my toenails. They need painting.
Just like a woman. You give them an inch and they take a foot.
And we can't start the conference until the new girl arrives.
Have you phoned the typing pool?
Yes, they said she left half an hour ago.
Perhaps she's in the ladies' restroom.
I checked on that. She can't be. Her makeup kit and knitting are still on the desk.
While we're waiting, I must tell you about my little girl.
Oh, little Catherine, here we go.
Well, this morning at 5:30, she woke me up. She was pushing her little train up and down.
Well, a little train couldn't be making much noise. Why did it wake you up?
She was pushing it up and down on my chest. And all the time she kept saying, "Puff, puff for daddy, puff, puff for daddy." She's only 4 and a half.
We know, but really, puff, puff for daddy. It's not all that remarkable.
Ah, but you don't understand. The previous evening I'd run out of cigarettes, and she obviously remembered.
You must be very proud of her.
Oh, I am. Oh, excuse me, but I do wish she wouldn't get up to so many tricks in the early hours of the morning. It's very tiring.
Is this the Landlubber Rum Conference?
Ah, you must be Shirley Wilson.
That's right, I'm the relief of Mavis. I'm a shorthand type temp. I hope I'm not late.
You're earlier than Mavis ever was. Now, let me introduce you. This is Miss Tufnell, who's in charge of TV commercials.
She's the one who gets all the breaks.
They told me you were a friend of Mavis's.
Well, yes and no. I'm her cousin, really, because her mum and my dad are brothers, and she's my aunt.
Who's your aunt? Who's your aunt, Mavis or your dad, or is she your cousin?
Oh, you're getting confused. It's quite simple, really. My gran on my dad's side is the same gran as Mavis's gran on her mum's side.
I can see you're a very close family.
Oh, yes, we all live in the same street. Except that my gran on my dad's side isn't on my side, but on Mavis's mum's side, round the bend.
Yes. Yeah, it's all very interesting, but we must start our conference.
Oh, righto.
We shall want you to take notes. I presume you can do shorthand?
Yes and no.
What do you mean?
Well, I can do yes and no in shorthand. That's
the word I have
trouble with.
Ah, well, never mind. You're well qualified for a job with the United Nations Security Council. Now, let's get cracking. Landlubber Rum. How are we going to advertise it?
Well, now, what is there in the product that has public appeal?
Alcohol.
Yes. Charming. The announcement that rum contains alcohol is hardly likely to send thousands of customers hurtling along to the nearest off-license.
Well, I think we need the bold approach. Why don't we put posters on the backs of buses saying, the rum for every rover half the world over?
Because it would start a shipping strike on the buses, that's why. I think we should do one of those dreamy commercials with a girl softly cooing, you're never lonely with a landlubber.
Well, that depends what sort of a lubber he is.
Why don't we popularise it as a long drink with soda? Make a splash, have your rum with a dash.
How many U's in rum?
One.
Well, that's what I thought, but it looks wrong. Perhaps I should have put it before the H.
There is no H. It's spelt R-U-M.
Oh, that's much easier. Where's the hyphen go?
There is no hyphen.
You just said rum with a dash.
He didn't mean rum with a hyphen. He meant rum with a siphon.
Oh, it's all right, dear. You're just getting confused again.
Yeah, I've got it. Supposing we did a TV commercial of a sailor with a parrot on his shoulder, then the parrot could deliver the slogan.
Do you mind, old boy? I'm not used to writing slogans for parrots. I insist on a very nicely spoken bird.
Well, we can get that one we used in the Bissett birdseed commercial.
Not on your life. I spent 3 whole weeks in the studio trying to get that bird to stand on one leg, look into the camera and say, with Bissett's birdseed, I'm fit and fat. Give me a feed, then bring on the cat. It cost the firm thousands.
Some parrot. I still say it was a vulture with a pink rinse and a good agent.
I don't care what it was. I'm not making another TV commercial with a parrot, and that's final.
Oh, now, Maggie, darling, don't let a bird come between us.
You can say it's soft talk for Janet. The answer is no.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Oh, good. Lars says something I can take down in shorthand.
Now, Michael, I don't wish to be awkward.
Pity, because you do it so well.
So I suggest we abandon the conference until later. I'm going down to the canteen for a coffee.
But, Maggie...
I am not going to have a parrot.
I wouldn't be surprised what's on the menu.
You know, our Maggie's getting more stubborn than ever. The parrot's a good idea.
I know, the client will love it. But Maggie has to make the film.
If only I could persuade her, Adrian.
Well, it should be child's play for you, old boy. You can persuade anybody to do anything, provided it's a female body.
Yes, that's true, isn't it? You know what I think I'll do? I'll arrange to have dinner with Maggie tonight. She'll be a different person in the morning. There'll be soft lights, soft music, soft talk.
I see. Softly, softly, catchy monkey.
I thought we was after a parrot.
I dance when I'm walking, I know how lovely it feels just to be, to be, to be.
Maggie, please. The office vacuum cleaner makes a better noise than that. And it picks up dirt as well.
I'm sorry, darling, but I'm so happy this morning. By the way, any sign of Michael yet?
I think he's had a late night. He said he was having dinner with a business acquaintance.
Oh, yes.
Morning, all.
Goodness, you look worn out. I feel pretty tired myself.
What an extraordinary coincidence.
Well, not really, after our little celebration last night.
What? Were you at this business dinner of Michael's?
Well, it wasn't a dinner. It was more of a late-night conference, really.
No, Michael, it wasn't. I thought it all rather romantic, just the two of us alone in my flat.
You mean there was no one else there?
Oh, yeah, yes, there were people there. There was Maggie Siamese's cat. It's got a very high pedigree.
You've got no right to have dinner together alone.
Why not?
He said he had a business dinner, not a romantic assignation.
It wasn't in the least romantic. We had all the lights on all the time, and the bulbs were in.
Well, that was a mistake on Maggie's part. Candlelight's your only chance, darling.
When I cook a meal, Janet, I'm not afraid of letting people see what they're eating. And you needn't go on saying it wasn't in the least romantic, Michael. I resent it.
Well, I merely meant it wasn't romantic in the way Janet means.
Of course, Maggie's been trying for years to lure you round for dinner. Keeps on sidling up in that sly way and asking if you're interested in pressure cookers.
Now, girls, do calm down.
Oh, don't speak to me. I'm leaving.
What, the firm?
No, the room. I'm going to get a breath of fresh air.
I do hope we haven't worried, Janet.
Well, you certainly did your best to mix it.
Yes.
Well, now perhaps we can get back to the landlubber rum.
Yes, well, Michael, after our little talk last night...
Yes?
I quite agree we should make a TV commercial showing a sailor with a parrot on his shoulder squawking out the slogan, but the thing of it is, I can't find a photogenic parrot that talks.
Have you tried the usual places?
Did the rounds this morning, but a good parrot who can learn a slogan is extremely rare.
Did you try any of them out?
Yes, quite hopeless. Really, I don't know what birds are coming to these days.
Neither do I, and I ought to know.
My head.
Adrian, what's the matter?
Well, I went to a ref reunion last night, and you know what those to-dos are like. By the time you've drunk everyone's health, you're seeing them all double, so you have to start all over again. I'm glad to say. But the reason I popped in was about this parrot. I know where you can find one.
Is it any good?
Yes, rather. I was having a most intelligent conversation with it last night.
You're quite certain it was a parrot, not one of your old RAF cronies?
Well, quite certain. It had wings, bare feet, and little red-rimmed eyes.
It could still be one of your old RAF cronies.
Oh, it was a parrot, all right, and a most remarkable bird. It sits in the pub and repeats everything it hears.
Just like the parrot we want. Come on, Adrian, let's go and get it. What's the name of the pub?
I can't remember, except it was somewhere in Chelsea.
Oh, well, that's a great help. We might have to go to hundreds of pubs before we find it.
With a bit of luck, yes. Michael, if I drink any more fruit juice, my moustache will burst into flower. 8 pubs in a row, old boy, and not a parrot in any of them.
Still, we've met 4 tabby cats, a budgerigar, and an Alsatian called Trixie, so it hasn't been a complete waste of time.
Morning, gents. What can I get you?
2 tomato juices, please. Oh, by the way, my friend thinks he may have seen a parrot in here last night. I wonder if you'd know anything about it.
Well, I might. I remember him being in here all right. A lot of other gents. Pretty festival they all was. Pour beer and lemonade down the piano. This morning, when I pressed the middle C, I got an eye full of shandy.
Well, I'm sorry about that, but do you remember there being a parrot here as well? A large one. It sang Roll Out the Battle slightly off-key.
That's right. It's our Joey. It's the governor's pet.
Oh, you mean it lives here? It's here now?
Yes. Round in the off license. Don't come into public until the evening, you see. It's more of a night bird, really.
Well, we're from an advertising firm. We'd like to hire Joey for a TV commercial.
Oh, I don't think the governor would like that. His pride and joy, that parrot is.
Oh, what a pity.
However, the governor's off duty this afternoon, and if you got the parrot back here before he returned... No, it wouldn't be worth my while. No, I don't suppose it would be worth my while.
Well, how much worth your while wouldn't it be exactly? Shall we say 10 bob?
Oh, sir. You do not think I'm the sort of man to accept a bribe.
Oh, no, of course not. But supposing I accidentally dropped a 10-bob note onto the floor, then you might accidentally sweep it up into your pocket.
If sir's going to have an accident on my floor, I suggest he has a bigger one.
All right, £1.
Not worth getting me broom out for less than 2.
Okay, £2.
You do understand, it ain't the money, it's just the things you can buy with it.
What else? Well, now, can we have the parrot?
Of course you can, but don't forget, I must have it back by 5 o'clock this afternoon.
Oh, hello, is that you, Maggie? It's Janet speaking. Michael just rang to say they found the parrot and they're on their way back. And he said, would you book an actor and a studio? No, this afternoon. He said, you must make the commercial before 5 o'clock. Okay? Right. Bye. So go on then, Charlie.
Well, I was saying, this bloke said to Mavis and me, how about go on the Big Dipper? So Mavis said she didn't mind, and I agreed. And the bloke's friend said he was easy, so there we were.
Where?
On the Big Dipper. Mavis and me and this bloke and this bloke's friend.
The one who was easy?
That's right. Well, there we all were, having a giggle, you see.
Between the dips?
Yeah. Then suddenly there was a lurch, and one of Mavis's gypsy dangle earrings fell off. So I went under the seat to look for it with one of the blokes.
What, the one who was easy?
Yeah, well, we had to find it.
Of course you did. I mean, one gypsy dangle earring's no good to anyone except perhaps Van Gogh.
I don't like men who wear earrings. Anyway, the dipper stopped and this bloke's friend was a bit green, so he got off.
Oh, the one who was queasy.
Yeah. Anyway, we went round on the dipper 4 times before we found it. And here's the scream of it. It cost these blokes best part of £1 and the earrings only cost 3 and 9 new, the pair. Oh, it's enough, laugh. The bloke
didn't.
Hold the door open, Adrian. I'll carry the cage. Shh. Quiet, Joey, quiet.
Well, girls, what do you think of him?
Oh, he's good.
Very nice.
Magnificent plumage, don't you think?
I don't know. I can't see anything except feathers.
Darling, does he talk?
Of course he can. He just can't get in a word edgeways around this place. Come on, Joey, say something to Janet. Come on.
How's your father? How's your father?
Mine's fine. How's yours?
Kind gentlemen, please.
Well, that rather ends the conversation, doesn't it?
Oh, Michael, you found it. Well done.
Hello, Maggie. Oh, Joey, this is Miss Tufnell.
How's your father?
Don't tell it, Maggie. It's got an offbeat sense of humour.
Well, let's get organised. Look, we must start teaching this bird its part. I suggest we do it in shifts. You and Janet take the first shift. Adrian and I will take the second.
Fine. Shirley, Maggie, come along. We'll leave them to it.
Yeah. Hey, wait a minute. How do you teach a parrot its part?
You show it the script with its lines marked in red.
Well, somehow I don't think that's going to work.
Of course not. The parrot might be colourblind.
It's all very simple. You just keep repeating its line over and over again.
All right, Maggie. Now leave us to it.
Oh, another thing. You two lovebirds had better be careful what you say to each other. The parrot might repeat that as well.
Don't worry, Maggie. If Janet gets carried away, I'll put the cover over Joey's cage. Now, come along, Joey. You're still not concentrating. Landlubber rum is a jolly good rum chum. Now, come on now. Landlubber rum is a jolly good rum chum.
Small pot and lemon. Small pot and lemon!
Not much good, is it? Oh, darling, I wish your knees weren't so bony.
Who are you talking to, me or the parrot?
You, darling, I just can't get comfy today. Just a minute, wait. Ah, that's better.
Oh.
Oh, poor... poor old Joey. If you ask me, it's all too much for him.
Michael, we're behaving impeccably.
No, I mean the sentence is too long. I shall take the chum off the end. Now, come on, Joey. Landlubber rum is a jolly good rum.
How's your father? How's your father?
Oh, Janet, darling, give me strength.
Joey, please. All I want you to say is landlubber rum. Won't you please say landlubber rum for Uncle Adrian?
Everything in the studio is lined up, and now this...
Landlubber rum, jolly good rum, landlubber rum.
He's got it. By Jove, he's got it.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's get him down to the studio.
Goodbye, old boy. Oh, dear, I've grown accustomed to his face.
Studio, please. Thank you. We'll be going ahead with the Landlubber commercial in about 5 minutes from now. Now, Michael, let's have a quick run through. Where's the actor who's playing the sailor?
Oh, he's over there. I say, Gavin.
Good afternoon, Mr. Lightfoot. What is your pleasure?
Golf and pretty girls. What's yours?
Michael, please, we're behind schedule already.
Now, before we start, Miss Tufnell, what do you think of my costume? Does it appear suitable?
It's marvellous. You look like the Ancient Mariner.
Yes, certainly do.
I can almost smell the ozone.
Oh, is that what it is? You know, I really think they ought to have these costumes clean before they hire them out. I was only saying to Larry the other day...
Yes, 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 quite. But we must push on. Now, this is what happens. You say, it's the Navy's favourite drink. The parrot says, landlubber rum. Then you say, makes a jolly sailor jollier.
Is that all?
That's all.
Well, really, I wish I'd known. I turned down a very good part in a commercial about fowl pets to do this one.
Shirley, bring on Joey.
Righto, coming.
Okay, Gavin, ready when you are. Now, just run through the dialogue with the parrot.
Very well. It's the Navy's favourite drink.
Let's try it again.
It's the Navy's favourite drink. Completely incoherent. Now, you really must get it forward, Joey, on the lips, teeth, tip of the tongue. Now, come along now. Now, come along. Say after me, oh, for a muse of fire that would ascend the brightest heaven of invention.
I
Really?
All right, everybody, break for 5 minutes. What's wrong with Joey? He was all right half an hour ago. Why won't he talk now?
Well, I have observed that all the time he seems to be getting more quiet and droopy. If it wasn't for his yellow feathers, I'd swear he got jaundice.
You know, he does look a bit off colour. Perhaps you ought to call in a doctor.
What sort of a doctor do you call in for a parrot?
The flying doctor?
Michael, I'd like to remind you that the entire studio staff is standing by at a cost of £400 an hour. If that parrot doesn't talk soon, we'll be ruined.
Our granny had a parrot once and it stopped talking. Mind you, granny didn't notice for 6 months because she thought her ear trumpet was blocked. Anyway, we got it talking again.
But how? What was wrong with it?
Well, first of all, we thought he had a cold. Granny said, Shirl, you give him a bread poultice. So I did.
Well, did that make him feel better?
Oh, yes. But even when he'd eaten it, he still wouldn't talk. Then Gran said, you know why he's so moody? He wants a lady parrot for a bit of company. So we obtained this female lady parrot. Put their two cages side by side, and that did the trick.
Do you seriously mean that Joey's sulking because he wants the company of a lady parrot?
Well, you know what birds are. They're only human.
You know, Maggie, this could be worth trying. Let's get another parrot. What about one of those beautiful but dumb parrots you auditioned this morning?
You mean at the pet shop place?
Yeah. Janet's at the office. I'll ring her up and tell her to bring one round as soon as possible.
Well, I hope she picks a nice, glamorous bird.
Don't worry. Set a thief to catch a thief.
Well, darling, what do you think of Polly?
Oh, she's gorgeous. Come on, let's introduce her to Joey. Put her cage alongside his.
All right. Joey, meet Polly. Polly, meet Joey. Oh, Michael, darling, you're shy. Just like you when you first met me.
Do you mind? I didn't stand on one leg scratching my feathers with my toes.
Getting impatient.
Well, he's looking brighter. He's pushing his beak through the cage.
I wonder how parrots kiss each other.
What does it matter unless you're another parrot? Oh, he's livening up. He'll be talking to her in a minute.
I wish he'd hurry up.
Darling, this is romance. One mustn't rush these things. Although at your age, of course, I suppose one has to.
Darling, at my age, it's not very much different from your age.
For your information, I've just turned 24.
Well, turn it back again. Admit to 42.
Come on, Joey. Come on, Joey. That's right. Come on, say something to Polly. Come on.
Do you come here often? Do you come here often?
Well, at least you can't say he hasn't got any conversation.
How's your father? How's your father? Land Lubber Rum. Land Lubber Rum.
That's it. That's it. Success.
Yes, please, everybody. We're going ahead with the Land Lubber commercial.
So the film went well.
Fabulous.
Just after Joey set his little beady eyes on Polly, he just wouldn't stop talking.
I say, old boy, it's only 4:45. We'd better take Joey back to the pub.
Oh, he'll be back in a minute.
Where is he?
He's with Polly. They're both in the ladies' restroom.
That's an odd place to go courting.
Shirley took them there to give him a glass of water.
Well, I hope she won't be too long.
Help! Help! Oh, something terrible's just happened in the ladies' restroom.
Well, that's nothing unusual.
Joey's escaped! Gone!
Oh, no! You should have followed him.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. I wouldn't have had it happen to my own flesh and blood.
Well, never mind. It can't be helped.
But we must find him. Otherwise, that man in the pub will sue us for bird napping or whatever it is.
Oh, don't panic, old boy.
Don't just stand there. Now, come on, everybody. We must try and find Joey.
Darling, it's going to be terribly difficult.
Don't be ridiculous. He can't have gone far. He's not used to flying.
Well, neither am I.
Now, let's get organized. Shirley, you take the street. Janet, you search the building. Adrian, you come with me on the roof.
And what's Maggie going to do?
Oh, she couldn't care less about that parrot. It's not her pigeon. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, it's no use, Adrian. We've clambered all over the roof. There's not a sign of him.
Nothing but pigeons. I say, look. Look by that chimney stack. There's Joey.
Now, he's not moving. We'll creep up behind him, nab him, then whip him back to the pub.
Mr. Lightwood's office? Yes? Oh. Well, if he insists, you'd better send him up. Darling, it's that barman you borrowed the parrot from.
I can't think what he wants. I mean, we caught Joey and returned him last night.
My brave little white hunter. Where did you catch him eventually?
Up a church spire. He was looking at the weathercock and saying, so you won't talk.
Mr. Lightfoot. Oh, come here to demand an explanation. Oh, the shame of it.
The shame of what? I returned Joey to you in good health. I admit he was a bit grubby,
it's
but...
It's not that. It's, I don't know how to say it in mixed company, but... Whoa. Joey's laid an egg.
An egg? Oh, how sweet.
Sweet? Well, how would you feel if you had a parrot called Joey and it suddenly laid an egg?
I should change his name to Josephine.
Not tonight, mate. And what's more, it won't even talk.
If it won't talk, and he lays eggs. Well, it can't be Joey. It must be Polly. Shirley must have mixed them up.
Then it was Joey who went back to the pet shop. Oh, it's all quite simple, unless you've got a logical mind.
All very interesting, but...
Oh, now, you leave it to me, old boy. I'll get the whole thing straightened out within 10 minutes. After all, it's not the first time that an advertising man's brought the wrong bird into a pub.
It's something to shout about, it's something to shout about. We can really guarantee something to shout about.
Through no fault of your own, you've just heard Something to Shout About. Michael Lightfoot was played by Michael Medwin, Maggie by Eleanor Summerfield, Janet by Fenella Fielding, Shirley by Sheila Hancock, Adrian by Nicholas Phipps, the barman and the actor by Warren Mitchell, and Joey by Peter Hawkins. The Jingle Bells and the Bernie Fenton Quartet were under the direction of Cliff Adams. The script was dashed off by Miles Rudge and Ronnie Wolfe, who dashed right after him. The program was recorded and produced out of thin air by Trafford Whitelock, who has nothing up his sleeves except his elbows.